I'd like you to turn with me this evening to the letter to the Galatians, Paul's letter to the Galatians, and chapter 2, and the verse that we're going to focus on this evening is verse 20, but we shall read verses 19, 20, and 21. Our subject this evening is crucified with Christ, this well-known verse, verse 20, but I shall read from verse 19. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me, and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Crucified with Christ. Well, I want us to look at this single verse this evening. In many ways, it's a mysterious verse. It's also a literary masterpiece. When we look at it, it's got levels that you can mine. You can come back to it again and again, and you can see wonderful things in this verse. I am crucified with Christ. There are verses in the Bible which seem to summarize the whole narrative, the whole message of the Bible. I'm sure we can think of them. John 3:16, Revelation 3:20. There are verses that we know so well. This is one of those verses, but it's a complicated verse. It's a verse which is in the form of a riddle. It's not easily understood if you just look at it quickly. You have to study it, and then you see the depths that come out of it. Well, we shall look first at the context. Then we'll look at the riddle which Paul tells. And then we'll see in this verse that he looks back, as we were considering this morning, to when he was Saul of Tarsus. He then speaks about now, his life now as Paul. And then at the end of the verse, he's going to explain how this huge transformation has been possible. Then, now, and how. So let's just look at the context of this chapter. The letter to the Galatians is a letter written by Paul, and he speaks to a church which started very well. There were many that were converted, and they trusted in Christ. But a problem has happened. The Jews have gone back to their old ways. They've started focusing on the outward things instead of the heart. There's been a problem. It's a church mixed with Jews and Gentiles, those who were of Israel and those who were not. And the problem that's happened here in chapter 2 is they've started to sit in cliques. Now, it's very difficult to say that tonight because we've encouraged you to sit in families, divided up in our cliques, in our clans. Well, that's exactly what was happening here in Galatia. They were splitting off. And even the Apostle Peter was choosing to sit just with the Jews. And Barnabas was following him. And so Paul has to plead with these great apostles, with Peter. And he has to plead and say, "You're going back to the old ways. You see, what used to happen is you would focus on what you did. And you thought through what you did and through the outward things that you could please God." Now that's natural, isn't it, to human nature. If you want to apply for a job, usually they select through merit. They select if you've got the right qualifications. And sadly, in the day and age that we live, sometimes what nationality actually will determine whether you get the job or not. You see, that's human nature. But Paul comes and says, we'll have none of that. No cliques, no divisions, no focusing on the outward, no focusing on you trying to please God. You can't do it. That was what you left behind. All the ceremonies, all the rituals, you've gone back. And even when you sit down to eat at the Lord's table, you're dividing up. Peter, you're only sitting with the Jews, and the Gentiles are left to eat on their own. That's not right. And so Paul is going to come and shock them. He's going to speak in a very graphic way. He's going to try to challenge them. But we can do this. We can focus so much. Our religion becomes something we wear, something we do, instead of what God is in our hearts and the dwelling of Christ within us. We focus on the outward, how we appear, who we talk to, where we go, all those outward things. And Paul is going to stop them. Well, really, this verse is a testimony. It's an account. We had Paul's testimony this morning. That dramatic testimony which we considered. How the light shone as he went on that road to Damascus. And so he comes and he's going to give his testimony in this single verse. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Well, this is a riddle. Paul, do you really mean this? I am crucified with Christ. You weren't there. You weren't one of the two robbers on either side of the Lord Jesus. And anyway, Paul, when you write this letter, you're alive. So how can you say this statement? I am crucified with Christ. Well, a riddle is a way of writing or saying something to make people think, to stop them. What does that mean? That's a bit confusing. What could he possibly mean? I am crucified with Christ. It needs an explanation. It makes us delve a bit deeper. What does this mean? The obvious meaning is clearly not what he actually means. Paul was not crucified in the flesh with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I'm alive. But I'm not alive. It's Christ who's living within me. Well, it's very curious. It's a mystery. And it's going to make us think. If you understand this verse, you understand the way to heaven. You understand the whole message of the Bible. And Paul is able to bring to life exactly what we need to hear. This riddle. Dead, but alive. It's a bundle of paradoxes, contrasts, extremes. Alive, but dead. Dead, but alive. I'm alive, but Christ is alive. I live, but Christ lives. Contradictions, extremes, a bundle of paradoxes. Well, for many, I know this is a favorite verse. I am crucified with Christ. When you've understood it, this is your personal experience. This is what's happened to you if you are a Christian tonight. Well, that's the context, that's the riddle. Now let's look back. He's looking back. And in this verse, there's only just over 40 words in English. 8 of the words are personal pronouns. I and me. He uses 8 times. That's very unusual for Paul. Now that he's a Christian, all that pride, all that arrogance has gone. He's not one to put forward himself. And yet he mentions 8 times, I and me. That's quite good going, isn't it? But he's saying it to explain what's happened in his life. It's a very personal account. Paul is telling us of the time when he was Saul. He's looking back to then, and he's saying it's all changed. You see, I was crucified with Christ. There was a time when Saul, the personality of Saul, the behavior of Saul, the heart of Saul, was crucified. And it was Christ who took the punishment for what Saul had done. No wonder he says, I, very personally, my sins, the sins of Saul, I. But it says, I am. If you look at the original, it's as though he's saying he goes on being crucified with Christ. Again, that's curious. Christ was once crucified. But there's a sense in which Saul died, and then he's going to have to go on being killed, being crucified with Christ. Again, it's more curious. We'll explain what this means. You see, what he's talking about is his old life, the old agenda, the old Paul, the old passions, the old things that he loved, the way he behaved. I don't know whether he was married at the time. We don't actually know much really about his family situation. But just imagine you were in Paul's family when he was Saul. What would he have been like when he came home? Angry, bitter. He was stirred up. His emotions were frequently out of control. Has that ever happened to us? Out of control? But that old Saul has died. It's died with Christ on the cross. That was then. Firstly, the sins of Saul, they've been taken and they've been crucified with Christ. The punishment for what he deserved has been put on Christ. I, the old life, and I, what I used to do and the punishment that it deserved, that has been and it goes on being crucified. You see, in one sense, Paul is now perfect because Christ has declared him righteous. Though he's sinned, though he's fallen, though he keeps on tripping up, in God's sight, legally, Saul is dead. And Saul's sin has gone. And Paul has been perfected. He's now perfect in God's sight. But practically, Paul keeps on tripping up. The good that I would, I don't do, and the evil that I would not do, I so often do. He has to keep on being crucified with Christ. I am continuously being crucified. The sin that Paul does keeps on being added to the cross. And to Christ. Well, that was then. That was when he was Saul. And Saul can't take any credit for this. Yet not I. It wasn't me that did this, says Paul. Not I. But Christ is the one that lives. It's not my life anymore. It used to be. I used to own my life. I used to rule it. I used to set the agenda, but not now. Now, it's Christ that lives within me. He has a different master. Once he was ruled by himself, which was really Satan. Now he's ruled by Christ. Yet not I, but Christ is living within me. What you see, it's not really me, says Paul. I'm becoming more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is living within me. He's gradually taking over, one room at a time. He's in charge of the house. He owns the house. He lives in the house, but I haven't given him every room yet. Some people keep back. They won't let him in to every part of their life. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Then he goes on. He's going to talk about his life now. The life which I now live. This body that you see, this Paul, it's not really me. I've died. My personality, it's gone. I'm trying to be more and more like Christ because Christ is living within me. You see, he's challenging the Judaizers that focus on the outside, and all his focus in the middle of the verse is within. Christ lives within me. That's wonderful. It's not actually me living. It is physically in the flesh, but my spirit, my heart, my mind, my soul, increasingly, it's Christ dwelling within me. The life which I now live in the flesh, it's not me anymore. You see, the law, he's dead to the law. Verse 19, he's told us that. I, through the law, am dead. Once the law was just to show me how sinful I am. I broke every one of the commandments. We read of that man that went to the Lord Jesus. He said, I kept number one, number two, number three. I've kept them all. He'd broken them all because he didn't understand what God's law was for. It wasn't a checklist to show how good we are. It was a list to show us our sin, and that we couldn't meet any of those holy standards. Paul says, I'm dead to the law. The law didn't do anything for me. It didn't change me. It just showed me that I needed to live unto God, for God, and God had to come and live inside me. This is amazing. Christ comes from heaven down to earth, we know that, but now he comes and lives inside. This is what the Christian message is about. God living inside me, not outside. I don't wear him. In a sense, I do. He gives me his righteousness so that I'm covered. But he comes to live inside. The life I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. So we've looked at then, we've looked at now, but how about the third piece, the most important? How? How does this amazing change happen? The life I now live, I live by the faith. Well, he remembers the old life. He remembers the murderous Saul. He wouldn't stop. Nothing was too far for him to go to Damascus, to enter 30 or 40 synagogues, to root out anyone that followed the way, followed Christ. He remembers that. He used to reject Christ as Savior. Not now. He remembers proud Saul that wouldn't listen. He was impenetrable. Nobody could get near him. Are you like that? Is there someone that never will ask a spiritual question? Sometimes we try to draw alongside somebody who we believe is outside of Christ, but they're like a brick wall. That was Paul. That was Saul. Proud Saul. Every time the name of Christ was mentioned, his blood curdled as Stephen pointed the way to Christ. He held the clothes of Stephen, and inside him it made him mad. That was self-righteous Paul. The Paul that wore his religion. There was nothing inside. He looked down on the Jews who were of a lower class, thinking that he kept all of God's laws and they didn't. That's what it does. It makes us hypocrites. How? How did this happen? Oh, it's here at the end of the verse. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me. You see, everything that Paul needed to become Paul instead of Saul was given to him. It says it at the end. And gave himself. I want to mention seven things just before we close tonight. How did this transformation happen? Seven things which God gave through Christ to Saul so that Christ could live within him. Well, he says this, he gave up his life. Christ gave up his life so that he could live inside of Paul. Christ, who went to the cross knowing for 33 years that he would go all that way, knowing everything that would happen, and he willingly gave it up for Saul. And he gave it up for you, if you would come to him tonight. Willingly, he gave up his life. He gave himself for me. Well, he also gave his blood, the lifeblood, in order for Paul to live. Another life had to be given, and blood had to be shed. Why do we make so much of blood? Because it was through the shedding of blood that we could be forgiven, that my sin could be washed. He gave his life, he gave his blood, and thirdly, he gave his perfect life. He gave himself. You see, Saul was morally bankrupt. Just look at what he'd done. Don't think that you or I are any better. What he had done and what we've done in God's sight, they're just the same. He doesn't distinguish between a liar and a murderer, between someone who murders a reputation and somebody who murders a life. It's all the same in God's sight. And so Christ gives his righteous, perfect life to Saul, who had no righteousness. He thought he had everything that was necessary. And so did these Judaizers. They looked at the outside. But Saul was bankrupt. He had gone bust so many times in his life. His debt was huge. And Christ comes and deposits within his spiritual bank account riches and righteousness that can't be counted and can't be measured. He gave his life, he gave his blood, he gave his righteousness, and he gave a new life. Not Paul, he gave the life of Christ to dwell within him. He gave himself for me. He gave a place in heaven for all eternity. And he even gives us the faith. Is anyone struggling for faith? I can't believe. It's too hard. There's a problem. There's an obstacle. It's blocking my way. I hear of these other people. They've got these wonderful testimonies and I'm jealous when I listen to them. If only that was true of me. If only a light shone in my life. Have you asked for the faith that you need? It's not faith that you work up. It's not faith that you can learn, it's faith which is given. He even gives us the faith that he showed in his Father in going to Calvary. He gives us the faith, but there's one more thing. He gives us a new master. That's what I need. I need someone to come and take charge. Come and take control of my life. I can't rule it anymore. I've made a mess. I need Christ to come himself and to take charge. I've been renting my house from him, the house of my body. I now need to realize the life I live isn't mine. It's a life for God, and I want to live for him, and I want him to come and take up occupation and own and rule and be the master of this life. He gave himself for me. But just as we close, look at those words. Who loved me? Me? Christ can love me? That's what Paul says. He loved me, the chief of sinners. Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief, said Paul. He loved me. Does that humble you tonight? When you really think about your life and your sin, what you've been and what you've done and what you've said and what you are, he loved me. Surely it must humble you. Surely all pride stops. We can say with the Apostle Paul, I, the old I, 8 times, I've been crucified. I is no more. Now it's about Christ. I live the life of Christ. Let's read through that verse just once more. And try and explain it as we go. I, the old Saul, I have been and I keep on being crucified with Christ. My sin, the punishment that I deserve, I'm dead. Nevertheless, I'm alive. I live. But it's no longer me. It's Christ who lives within me. He's come and taken up occupation. He should have been here all along, but I rejected him. Christ lives in me. And the life, my life now is for Christ. I don't live for anyone else. I try to please my wife, my children, my mother, my father, whoever your circumstances are, but that's just to please Christ. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith that God will give to everybody that asks it, the faith of the Son of God who loved me, even me, and gave himself, all those things. His life, his blood, his righteousness, the new life that I needed, a place in heaven, the faith that I even need to believe in him. And he gave himself to be the ruler. Would you willingly have him to rule over your life? My friends, surrender tonight to him. Don't carry on. Don't try and live your own life. Live the life that Christ wanted you to live. The life of Christ within your life. It's so much better. Let's close in prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, our gracious eternal God, we thank thee for this mystery, this riddle, this statement of faith, this testimony of how Saul became Paul and how he surrendered. and how he lived from now on for Christ. Lord, bless tonight. Bless every heart. May there be some heart tonight that no longer wants to live for self and now lives the life that Christ wanted them to live. Lord, come, we pray, into our lives and hearts and minds this night. Cleanse us from all sin. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.